We are here with Brendan Mead, freshman Johnson student. How are you, Brendan?
I'm a little nervous, but other than that, I am excellent.
You're a little nervous, but okay. So you're going to do chapter 2?
Yes.
Do your thing.
All right. A ninny? Chris exhaled, surprising the silence. He looked in horror at the middle of Lindy's contender scab trash can. I can see by your outfit that you are a cowboy, and these words look like a Fiji mermaid with its eyes closed. The cowboy is a time-tested symbol of being insane in the membrane, especially when you hold it to this species of vertiginous grease. Such brazenness and perniciousness. Cold gooed all over life. Lindy, Chris exclaimed with the gargantuan appetite of a South American salamander. This? You call this living? With a heart full of latent violence, Chris stopped short of killing his sister. Besides, Lindy only had the brazenness of a half sack of potatoes left in her. You call this living? Chris repeated, this time sounding alienated. The sad, doe-eyed boy was legging it out of the patio when his sister started rearing up. No, I don't call this living, Lindy said, burping from her toes. This is when Chris saw God count to 3, but he was unable to count to 9.
1, 2, 10.
Lindy lifted her ant wings to the sky.
1, 2, 10
is what ventriloquists say, she said, and they say it while taking out the trash. Can you believe it? That's perfect. Passing a rat's ass, Lindy knew she could count on Chris to wear diapers, set a rooster on fire, and then breathed agitatedly. Chris, what are you thinking? Oh yeah, you don't think. What are you, trilateral commissioning? A burly Lindy reinvented. No, I'm not thinking, Chris protestinated. Lindy held up her 1, 2, 10 and looked at it, searching the numbers for something that moved her. I'm a boy and that's word, Lindy hissed as she counted 1, 2, 10. She was babbling again instead of chilling, her teeth pressed against her chest trying to move her labia. What are you trying? Chris said, trying to move the ceiling with his eyes. I'm not a girl. You're the girl, Lindy hissed, this time counting 10, a tone of voice that was once gooey and at the same time triple chinny. She was tiring of spitting nonchalantly at passing paramilitarists and glove-hopping with Deputy Dog. Lindy was looking more to throw spitballs than number 10 to find a mechanism that would remove hats from gentlemen's head when ladies pass by. It's more likely that you'll step on an insect, Chris said, without caring to accost. Try that on for size, Lindy. At least let them have the manners of an iguana, Lindy insisted, acrimoniously hitting Chris over the head with the number 10, and then in her best Lance Henriksen imitation, fuck me! Fuck you! At least I don't go to Ecuador with my golf instructor, Chris hissed, rubbing his head where the 10 had struck. Chris was seeing 10s in the air and he was suspicious. His head felt like someone had cast him into the sea and then reeled him into a fish hook speared through his cerebellum. His enormous blue eyes moved only when they were spoken to and never horizontally. They were bright red and taking the curves like Lindy applied mascara. He may have had a labia inferiority complex, but at least he didn't mimic Lance Henriksen lines, and at least he didn't think that he was Nostradamus with a labia superiority complex. The 10s were still hovering over Chris's head with grease and chocolate dripping off onto his bald cue ball head. And his cue ball wasn't wearing a rainbonnet. He had a German Luger, a piece of paper with the word 10 written on it, and a pint of Hidden Valley hibiscus salad dressing, but no rainbonnet. Under extreme circumstances, he carried a rain bonnet with him, but now all he had to show for it was the cold goo running down to his armadillo skin shoes, the color of carrion. Call me Palm Olive, Lindy hissed, without saying the word 10, and then moved her head quickly back and forth like Bob Saget on chewing tobacco. Tonto? Chris mistakenly repeated, shaking his head. I mean, why Palm Olive? Look, asswipe, you'd fucking better call me... Well, call me Palm Olive, Lindy hissed, this again without mentioning 10, and while treating everyone like they were not merely labia movers and shakers. Chris grew nauseous. Are we going bicycling on the patio or at school or what, Lindy? That's Roberta Arcia to you. Or do I have to literally etch it into your pea brain? Lindy hissed what Palmolive could only ask. Then I'd sue your ass for horribleness, Chris contested, impatient for meaning. I'm not horrible, Palmolive said in a voice chilling like Lindy's, except that Palmolive moved her eyes like army ants move ladies. You are horribleness personified. Yeah, well, don't look now. Your labia is moving out, Chris said to Lindy, and it's taking its ventriloquist pessimism with her. You, sir, are a major rat's ass, Lindy insisted on insisting. Yeah, well, who done and left you Al-Qaeda's answer to the tea ceremony? Chris grinned. Palmolive is just me, and I'm just a lovely bunch of cocoa nuts, Lindy said, spray painting the number 10 on her shirt, thus rationing up the strangeness, at least on her shirt. I'm a lovely bunch of cocoa nuts, and you are still rotten. Cat's ass! She spat at Chris, dancing like Ron Silliman. Your mom's a cat's ass! The number 17 replied with a voice reminiscent of Lindy's. Can you go 5 minutes without saying something that sounds like a dart out of hell and into your mouth? Chris asked, segwaying to his sister and knocked the number 10. You're always teetering on the cusp of breaking wind, Lindy said like a robot greeting Chaucer. Were you born with the marionette strings, or did they grow later? You know, I keep juggling these jokes and you keep sidestepping them. Why don't you do what like I do and repeat after me? I also juggle, but only when someone pulls on my strings, Chris said, arguing for compassion. Cluelessness has its privileges. But what are you going to do about that, 10? Chris existentialismed. I don't know. A part of me wants to take a gun and Montessori into Actu Liber, Lindy contested, pencil-tedibly, passing the number 10 after taking a hit. But part of me, and not the butt part, wants to make money off of it. Think about it, dude. We could run it out to kids' birthday parties. 10 would wow these spectacle-saturated deviants. Happy birthday, jackasses! Chris hit, testifying for 10. Now give me all of your parents' monies! Chris didn't know how simple he was. The two started carrying on like crazy ants at a candy factory, Lindy accompanying 10 on the accordion, Chris breaking out the Spalding Gray manatee monologue. That's macabre, Chris said, patting down Rico Petricelli, who was walking down the street. Hey! Check out our Olestra-laden tunes on the Lederhosen. Now I need a bromo, Lindy insisted. Now I need a bromo, the voice formerly known as Palmolive said, shaking her head and moving her eyes like she was trying to prove that she wasn't a ventriloquist dummy. Because I'm meeting a rodent American at the trash dump. Palmolive reeks of truth, Chris commented, pushing $100 worth of Rudy Sanez toward Lindy. Don't make me look at myself. I'm with Palmolive. I'm in the dump with rats, Lindy said, realizing 12 tons of burlap. Chris had been outfoxed. That was close, Lindy said, because any longer, and we'd have to take Chris with us. Chris was starting to protest when he heard the voices. Chris adjusted his eyes and got vaulted down with a martial plan of his own that had more rules, more death and destruction, and more crap about how to live right. The two kids looked at each other like pretty pelicans with petty, painful parents. What plan is this? Amy Marshall asked, sounding a lot like Palmolive. Are you blabbering? Her little brother Ben, who up close looked like a tree frog, and who, from a distance, looked like his own personal jihad. Hello, my name is Palmolive, Lindy hissed so hard that number 10 fell off her shirt. This made Palmolive mad, and a couple of hecklers in the front row didn't help matters. In fact, the audience was serving up the cold goo in ladles. Why aren't I on the guest list? Amy asked. Do you know that I can move objects with my eyes? Ben asked without a care in his carcass. But can you move your eyes? Palmolive asked Ben. The two Marshall kids knew that they were right on. Ben was 10, but already his hair was receding, and Amy knew that she was clear, queer, and guard for her rear, and that Palmolive was no girl. She was a man, baby. Hey! You heard me! Kamal grunted. Ben had been sitting on his hands, but now he had had them clenched in fists of fury. And after the segue, he and Amy knew that their destinies were nothing when compared to their 3-inch cherry-red press-on Lee nails. Yeah, Lindy screamed and spanked Ken's butt, listening to see if she had hit him so hard that the vibrations would echo in everyone's heads. To a rotten kid, this is a major entertainment. Seeing something's rear end reddened. Satisfied with the attention her screaming received, Lindy decided she could pull a sister out of her watch. Chris was horrified at this sentence. He was bored, and the prospect of another sister made him grab his head with his hands. I need a sister, Lindy concluded. Chris is just a boy, and Paul Olive isn't real, and I really need the attention. And that totally screams, sister. This is indisputably the way I come up with Palmolive. Lindy talked to herself in a miasma where orangutans and segmented traffic lights. She looked into the blue-pine-sized eyes of Ten in order to produce thoughts. Ten had to channel the Fiji mermaid in all her splendoriferousness, look her in the eyes, and amp up the complications of raising from the dead.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome. Thank you. Fucked up a couple times, but...
No, you sounded great.
Thank you.
That was chapter 2.